Bonus one day before Team Scam faces Team Heath in the For the People League. We're so excited. Welcome to the show. And also the Podcast League, the Podcast Points League draft is tonight. And apparently we have a mock draft this afternoon. Is that right, Scott?
We do.
All right. We'll
so
do
tired
it.
Of mock drafting. But this Scott is the last
White.
One.
The
this
last
is the last one.
One.
People need their mock draft results heading into the second biggest draft weekend of the year.
We've got two real drafts over the next 2 days. And I said, Scott, why can't we just publish the real draft instead
right?
of doing another mock
draft
today?
We're doing the same format tonight,
I mean,
Scott. We might as well just
we
publish
could also,
that.
We could also mine just a random draft any old users did on our site and throw it up as mock draft results. But I think the readers expect more.
Okay, fair enough.
We should do a Twitter poll.
Welcome to the show. Apparently, there was a nice debate in the office yesterday between Scott and Scott and Chris, right?
About, yeah, I had no part in it.
Sure.
You were just airing our dirty laundry publicly over Twitter.
Heath is the one who started the fight. Let's
yeah,
be clear.
Neutral arbitrator, Heath Cummings. But today on the show, we're going to tell you everything you need to know. There was a lot that went on in spring training yesterday. Another interesting outing for Zach Greinke with fairly low velocity. Corey Kluber got beat up a little bit. Aaron Nola is having a bad spring, but Pete Maccannon is not too worried. Nate Karns was excellent. Byung-ho Park continues his big spring. I want to talk about Byron Buxton. I want to talk about Mike Zunino. 12 walks to 11 strikeouts for Mike Zunino this spring, and big numbers from him. I had a draft last night on Yahoo. I think there are some takeaways that hopefully I think can help our listeners. What do fantasy owners need to know, though, right now? What do you want to start the show off with? Chris, you haven't talked much. Hit me with it. he has no idea. All right, so I'm in person right now.
Yeah.
I'm in the office, and I just came with like all my energy, and I threw it right at Chris, and he was just like stunned.
Well,
Chris
he
absorbed it.
That was your first mistake. I don't know. I was talking to Heath about this morning. I'm kind of at a loss for
new content
for what
right
to
now?
Do right now because yeah. it's like. Most people have probably drafted. If you haven't, you're waiting until the weekend. But, like, we're just kind of in limbo. I just want the games to start. We're getting the final spring training games in today, I think. So we should get a look at a lot of teams' everyday lineups. So that actually might be what you need to know is who's starting today in spring training.
Yeah.
Might give you a good idea of where people are going to bat. You know, I just saw the Braves lineup for today's game. They are batting Ender Inciarte at leadoff, Dansby Swanson second. So that's potentially newsworthy.
Way to make something out of nothing, Chris.
You put it together.
You know, I needed and to. I've been playing the game Uncharted a lot. There's a lot of sequences in that game where he's like falling down a cliff and grabs onto one ledge, and you know that was my Nathan Drake impersonation. Just
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, Nathan Drake. Sure, he's great.
I just wanted to mention, like, because it's great. The grapefruit and cactus leagues are ending today, but there are still going to be exhibition games before.
Yeah,
the
they'll do.
Starts.
Yeah,
they'll like in their home stadiums and stuff.
All right, Scott, what do you got
for
us?
We kind of made reference to this yesterday, and I wasn't sure yet how true it was. But, yeah, it looks like if you want Greg Bird, you're going to have to pay a premium for him at this point.
I think he went in the 11th round in my 12-team league yesterday.
Yeah, so I did a draft last night, and it was somewhere around there also.
Somebody at me that he went for 13 in a mixed league auction as well.
And so. I'm all right with it. I was ready to take him. He was in my queue.
It was kind of like I wouldn't have taken him right where this person took him in round 11 or whatever. And I think it was a 14 team league in like round 11.
Okay.
But it was to the point where I was thinking, you know, of all the hitters that are left, there may be some safer bets out there, but I think this is clearly the highest upside one. So I was at least starting to think about taking him at that point. It may have been a round or two later when I actually did, but it obviously didn't happen. Couldn't
Heath?
Have happened.
The thing that I noticed today, because I was trying to do this morning an update of all my rankings for the next 2 days' drafts that I am really, really excited about.
Yeah.
And a lot of the news that's coming out is the fourth and fifth starters for teams that maybe don't have exceptional rotations. We already knew the Nate Karns news. We talked about Ryu yesterday. Amir Garrett made the rotation for the Reds. He's probably, I guess, one of their top pitching prospects. They've also got a pitcher that is a rookie named Rookie Davis that's going to be in their rotation.
Pretty
that's
cool.
That's pretty cool. It'd be even cooler if next year he changed his name to sophomore, but he probably won't be in the majors.
But perhaps even more noteworthy is Matt Boyd beating out Anibal Sanchez.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. You tell me which ones. Amir Garrett, Matt Boyd, are either of them mixed league relevant? And who's got more upside? Like, what do you think?
I could see taking – I'd be more likely to take Boyd. It would have to be a deeper mixed league. It'd have to be in the reserve rounds. It'd have to be late. Garrett, I think, is somebody you watch his first start or two and see. But in an NL only, for sure you go grab him.
Yeah, he had like a – Garrett had like a 150-ish ERA at AA last year. Went to AAA, and it was little shakier, but definitely a prospect. They're both outside my top 100 starting pitchers, so I think, you know, kind of the same range you're talking about, Heath, where maybe a deep mixed league is somebody to fill out your pitching staff. Boyd
okay.
first, and then Garrett.
All right, yeah, well, you don't need a Jeff Danibal Sanchez. Cameron Maben's apparently going to be the Angels starting left fielder. We've been sort of keeping track of that because Ben Revere was having a much better spring. Ben Revere is just going to be backing up all the outfield positions. We got more of those types of news and notes. I think what fantasy owners need to know right now is that I got Delino DeShields in a draft last night and in our auction league where I was hurting for speed. I put in an $8 bid for him out of $100, and I'm very excited. So this is obviously like a later version of Greg Bird just in terms of draft riser, but...
And I don't think the overall upside is quite as high. You're basically just drafting a steel specialist who, you know, it helps you bats leadoff for a good lineup. It helps that he'll probably have better on-base skills than most pure speedsters. But
and he's also, like, it could be 2 weeks and all of a sudden he's in a platoon and you're dropping him.
Could be.
It's possible.
Could
yeah.
be. But, you know, people are hurting for speed, so.
Sure.
I just want everybody to know that I was very happy this morning.
Okay,
I was.
I'm glad
that you're happy.
Yes!
I'm having a good morning too, Adam, because you're here.
Thank you.
Right next to me.
Thank you. And there's a shout-out to you.
And I just ate a donut.
Oh, yeah, it is breakfast day, which is good. Somebody shouted out to Scott White, congratulating him on the future child. That would be Paul. And Paul, we want to give a shout-out to Paul because he and his wife had a baby this morning.
Whoa!
And he is drafting tonight, so a very...
Whoa.
Yeah, very exciting day for him. A baby and a fantasy draft.
Gave birth to a fantasy team.
And I want to tell everybody about our in-season programming. So just in case you're new to the show, we're 5 days a week, all season long. We review yesterday's action. We tell you everything you need to know. We tell you who you need to add, who you need to drop. We look at the most added list, most viewed list, give you lineup tips for the following week with two start pitchers, things like that. We grade the trade. That's our most popular segment, grade the trade. A C is average, by the way. Anything better than a C and you win. I think this year I want to do a little more of previewing the upcoming slate and saying something like, well, if this guy has a nice start tonight, I'm going to pick him up. Or if this guy hits a home run tonight, you know, I'm probably going to pick him up. That way people can make decisions on their own before they hear us the following day. And we'll have some DFS talk for you as well. I wanted to do this yesterday. Let's do it today instead. Over, under. Bryce Harper, home runs plus steals. Last year, Harper hit 24 home runs with 21 steals. That totals 45, quick math. Originally, I was going to say Bryce Harper 50, but I think that's too low. 53. Homers plus steals for Bryce Harper. Let's change. Let's shake it up a bit. I need Chris Towers to talk.
Okay, so he stole 21 bases last season.
Uh-huh, and hit 24 home runs.
One thing that I think we don't talk enough about is that there probably tends to be an inverse relationship between home runs and stolen bases. The more home runs you hit, generally speaking, the fewer stolen bases you're going to get. We saw that with Jose Altuve. I think we saw it with Paul Goldschmidt last season as well. So I wouldn't expect him to bounce back in power and steal 21 bases.
We saw it opposite with Goldschmidt, you mean? He got more steals because he had fewer home runs?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's the same thing. So, like, I would expect him to steal fewer bases if we see the power increase that I expect at this point.
53 homers plus steals, over, under.
Over.
So that just I'm with you. I'm over, but I'm not sure what you're.
It's a lot of
home
runs.
I don't think he's going to steal 21 bases, but I think he'll more than make up for it with power. I think he's got another 40 homer season in.
36. Oh, 40.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he steals 15 bases, which I think is a fair expectation, then he needs to exceed 38 home runs to beat 53.
Which is not a fair expectation.
No, what? I think it is. I think
38 home runs.
I had a draft last night in a.
I'm starting to buy back in.
9x9
Spring matters, Heath.
That one that one of our readers invited one of us to, offering a free pizza.
Oh, you did that.
If we didn't think it was last night. If we don't think it's the best league ever, I took Bryce Harper in this 9x9 league over Anthony Rizzo, which is something I hadn't been willing to do before. But I mean, Bryce Harper's spring is just
And I took Rizzo over Harper in a 7x7 league last night. Yeah.
And as we saw last season when he was so good in April, when Bryce Harper's good, he just stays good forever.
But, like, it's just so obvious, the storyline with Bryce Harper. When he's healthy, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And I just think that if I'm going to take a first-round pick, I'm choosing between Rizzo, who you, Scott, have continuously said is, like, the safest,
right,
one of the safest players in fantasy, or Harper, I'm going to lead Rizzo. Because it's not like Rizzo is only safe. He's also awesome.
Right.
I get the decision, though. It's probably – in fact, I think I took Rizzo over Harper, but it's possible that somebody took Harper before – actually, that might have happened. I would have taken Rizzo over Harper, but I think Harper might have been off the board anyway. So people do – you obviously, Heath, would take Rizzo.
I would take Rizzo, yeah. He's going to win the MVP this year.
Chris, you would take who, Harper or Rizzo?
I think I'm going to move Harper above him at the end.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris and I both picked Harper to win MVP, so.
Yep.
Who did I pick?
Chris Bryant.
I had the lamest pick. I basically just looked at last year.
No, the only one we were unanimous on was Mike Trout Benintendi for Rookie of the Year. Yeah, that'll be coming out in the next couple of days, but we disagreed on everything else.
All right, we'll do those picks and predictions on tomorrow's show or Friday's show. Billy Hamilton, now we always do Billy Hamilton steals. We know he's going to steal a lot of bases. Billy Hamilton's batting average, over or under 260?
Under.
Push.
That's his career high.
He hits exactly 260.
You're coming up with very good over-unders here because it's like...
It's only two so far. You don't know.
Well, the two, like, I don't want to commit to either side on Harper or Hamilton, but I think it's going to be slightly over. I think he'll approach 270.
Clayton Kershaw's innings, 185 through 149 last year.
I'll go over.
Over.
But if he just gets to 185, he's the number one starting pitcher.
Then if you guys are going over, then Clayton Kershaw should probably be a top five pick.
Nope.
He probably should, but, I mean, over, under, you're talking 50.
You're making me pick. There's a binary. Right, yeah.
But if I'm drafting,
there's a wide range of...
Because we're not going to predict
with a
first-round
injuries. Pick, if there's a 10% outcome of a negative outcome, 10% chance of a negative outcome, like, that's enough to pass him over.
Fine.
That early, you know?
Is everybody over on Kershaw 185?
Yeah.
The problem, like, is... With a back issue, it's not like he's going to pitch poorly necessarily. He could be pitching great, and then it could just pop up. You know, you never know. Charlie Blackmon steals. He had 17 last year. He was playing through a leg injury. He had 43 in 2016,
okay.
So that's why I put 35 steals for Blackmon.
I think this is your first misfire on the over-under. I do think he'll be better than 17. I think he was one of the better early round speed sources, but 35 is awfully high. I'll take the under.
I'm going under.
Yeah, I'll go under, but I don't think it was that far off. I will say that he's closer to 35 steals than Billy Hamilton is to 260.
Really?
We've seen Charlie Blackmon go over 35 steals. We've never seen Billy Hamilton go over 260.
No, but we saw Billy Hamilton hit a lot better than that, you know, in the last 2 months of the season, whatever, which is
full
what
season statistics are generally more predictive.
Yeah, it's what I was basing on. Like, if you don't think Billy Hamilton's going to hit 260, then I don't know that he's going to be a breakout player. I think he's just going to be a steal specialist.
He hit 260 last year, so we have seen him hit.
We never seen him hit over 260, was what I said.
And we never seen him hit over 250.
I mean, I don't know.
Year,
it was probably there was another decimal place.
There
so
very well
could
have been.
Actually, in 19 at bats as a rookie, he hit 368.
That doesn't
Boom!
Count. He didn't qualify.
Full season.
No, but he did start hitting the ball on the ground more often last season, and that's a...
But you guys just made Bryce Harper your MVP, and we're moving him up in our rankings because of a great spring, and Billy Hamilton's been atrocious again.
Aren't we contributing to the Fantasy Baseball Today drinking game?
Two-minute
Billy Hamilton conversation breaks out.
Do I contradict myself, Heath?
Yes.
I guess I'll drink my
contradict myself. Very well, then.
All right, Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray's ERA over under 340.
Over.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take a little over. Yeah.
Over. Well, if he's not going to be a strikeout guy and he's going to start the year on the DL and he's not going to have a 340 ERA, why am I drafting Sonny Gray?
You probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have him ranked as draft worthy.
I've got him as a last round pick. I mean, you're taking him on a hope.
Okay. I did draft him yesterday. Great. Nelson Cruz's home runs, 40.5.
Under.
Yeah, where was he at last year?
He's three straight years with 40 home runs. That's all I know.
So I would probably go under, but it'll be close.
Yeah, I agree. Under, but close.
Michael Brantley's home runs plus steals. Brantley's home runs plus steals, 37.5.
You have to take the under.
Yeah, I would have to take the under.
There's like,
you don't have to take
no,
the
there's
under.
A 45% chance he gets hurt again.
I'm
well, that's I'm to well, the point. Even like 1 3-week DL stint makes it more likely that he goes under.
And I
not.
Think it's more
so
likely that he
true.
Doesn't run. Like, he's trying to stay healthy. You've got
he's
all
got
the fire.
It's an arm injury. It's an arm injury.
Well, yeah, I think but you slide head first.
Well, like, I'm to the point now where I want Michael Brantley. Every time a draft begins, I'm going in thinking, I hope I get Michael Brantley.
Yeah.
I'll still take the under here, but not right, by
let me,
much.
Let me change
I think
it.
30 might be.
33. Homers plus steals.
Under. I'll still take the under. 30 yeah. be what I hope for. And if he exceeds it, great.
All right. With a good batting average, right?
Yes.
Hopefully.
Which would be maybe his biggest value to you in a categories league. Next over-under. I don't know why I went with this guy, but Corey Dickerson, 800 OPS. He had a 761 OPS last year. Corey Dickerson, 800 OPS over-under.
I'll go under, but I like where your head's at. I can't stop thinking about Corey Dickerson.
Write about him.
And yeah,
I wrote
I think,
about him.
I think he's
in
got
the...
a chance to have a nice bounce back season. He wasn't as bad as the
finished strong. He finished.
He wasn't
really
as bad as his baseball card.
Well, no, he wasn't. He wasn't as bad as I think the perception of him last season.
He wasn't. He didn't live up to his draft position. Yeah. But beyond that, I mean, his line drive rate went from 29 to like 17. I don't think that's Coors Field related. He was.
He started hitting a lot more fly balls.
He got into a slump early, and he did a lot of tinkering, like choking up and doing all sorts of changes to his swing. And then they got a new hitting coach in September, and he told him to just do what he does. And he hit 330 with a 925.
Yeah, the previous
OPS, so.
Hitting coach should have just told him to do what he does before.
He yeah. should have, he'd, instead of tinkering with him. I agree.
Yeah, so I did a 12-team head-to-head categories draft last night on Yahoo. A lot of people do this format. Catcher, first base, second base, third base, shortstop, three outfielders, two utilities, and then two starting pitchers, two relief pitchers, four pitcher spots, and like a six-man bench or something, maybe seven-man bench. It was about 25 rounds. And outfield was so deep late in the draft. Like, if you're – and Dickerson was the kind of guy – you look, you probably want him as a bench guy, but you might throw him in there. Who knows? But Mitch Haniger was my last pick. 25th or 26th round or something like that. Yasiel Puig went in the second to last round. I don't even know if Carlos Gomez got drafted. I think he did, but really late. One of the big takeaways, if you're still drafting and you're filling out your roster and you feel like kind of weak at a position or something and you're just wondering how long you can wait, you should probably sacrifice outfield. It's just, it seems to me by far the easiest position to just get somebody that you can plug in
and
give,
maybe
give
have
good
some
numbers.
Upside.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I would even say late in the draft, you've still got guys that like we're completely almost writing off, like Jacoby Ellsbury or Brett Gardner, that should still be productive, useful players.
Carlos Beltran, too, is much better than them, and he goes super late.
Yeah, I feel like and Dickerson, like he's had a great spring. He, you know, he had the whole weight loss thing coming in. There's and like I said, the line drive rate, there's reason to be to have some optimism with him, but there's not really in a standard mixed league. There's reason to have optimism, but there's not much reason to draft him. I wrote a story yesterday. It should be up today. 10 spring developments that have kind of flown under the radar. And one of them was Corey Dickerson. Really all 10 of them. I think they're interesting. I think they're players who, could end up being impactful in fantasy, but they're all the sort of players, like, you don't actually draft. You just, you know this about them going into the year, and if they have a good first week or two, then you think about
yeah,
picking them
that's
up.
That's important. Give me a few more.
Well, Delino DeShields is actually one. Obviously, steel situation, it may be different. Hyunjin Ryu is one. Byung-ho Park, who looks like he's going to be the DH in Minnesota and had some, like some really good power peripherals.
We don't draft these guys in a 21-round draft.
Or even,
but
or
like,
even,
but I, DeShields, I think if we did that, if we did a roto league 30 man roster, he'd definitely get drafted. That's what I picked him up in yesterday.
Right. He's the one of the 10 who does have, who I think is draftable in certain mixed leagues.
I think in a 30 roster spot draft, Chris has taken Byung-ho Park too.
Took Corey Dickerson in that league actually.
Yeah.
So.
Byung-ho Park, like you said, he didn't hit the ball often. But when he did, boy,
love that.
He hit the ball real hard. He had some of the best batted ball, like, exit velocity numbers in baseball. The raw power is real.
Average 417 feet on his home runs, the 12 he hit. And he had nine of those 12 in his first 98 at-bats, I think it was.
Yeah, I wrote a whole thing about him, like, in late April about how the power is real and Ho Park is.
The power is real. But he had a injured wrist that he eventually had surgery on, and there's just, like, a lot of strikeouts. But I could see Byung-ho Park becoming, like, a better version of Chris Carter. That's what I think the upside is.
Let's talk about his teammate. We have not spoken much about Byron Buxton since, I'd say, the start of spring training. And he's having a pretty good spring himself, and I think the most encouraging thing – the main thing you're looking at is the plate discipline. Four walks, 11 strikeouts, and 44 at-bats. You want to see more walks, but, I mean, only 11 strikeouts? Last spring, 3 walks, 20 strikeouts, and 56 at-bats. So that's pretty encouraging, and Buxton is slugging .523 this spring.
What I would say is you'd like to see a lot fewer strikeouts than that, even, if he was the guy that we thought he was going to be, which is this, like, light, slap-hitting, get-on-base-and-wreak-havoc guy. But, you know, from what I've heard, the Twins, and I believe Paul Molitor's acknowledged this, that they've basically acknowledged that they kind of screwed him up in bringing him up and trying to develop him as a slap-hitter, get-on-base, put-the-ball-the-other-way, bunt-for-hits type of guy. And
they tried to do that? That's horrible.
And apparently... a big part of his late season success last year was they were just like, just do your thing.
Yeah, the same hitting coach as Corey Dickerson.
Exactly. But no, he had a 47% pull rate. He hit for power last spring or last September.
Is Buxton a late round or mid to late round power source now? Is that what we're expecting from him?
I don't think I was expecting that coming up. And I think it might be, he could be a really, really good player. Who's not the guy that I think maybe we thought he was.
I mean, he didn't get to be the top prospect in baseball because he was a slap-hitting speedster. It was, you know, there was a well-rounded skill set there.
He just didn't hit for much power in the minors.
He had nine home runs in September or something? Yeah, the strikeouts are the biggest issue for me. He's on my breakouts list, which I guess is like, I feel like that can just speak for itself, so maybe that's why I don't talk about him more. But he's among those, you know, you get to round 14 or later, if he lasts that long, he's an upside outfielder I'm looking to draft.
Okay. You taking Mitch Haniger or Buxton?
Buxton.
All right. So, look, we're going to find out tomorrow night when we do the For the People League draft that we don't have all that much in common sometimes. I don't know. But I will say one thing that we all have in common. We all have the SeatGeek app. That was a long way of getting to SeatGeek. We all have the SeatGeek app on our phones, and we all love SeatGeek. We all use it when we want tickets to games or concerts or theater, whatever it is. And we've all saved $20 on tickets with the promo code FANTASY. So start using SeatGeek right now. It's going to save you time. It's going to save you money. And you'll see, once you start using SeatGeek, you're not going to use any other ticket site because no site gives you the search results and the price comparisons that SeatGeek gives you. So SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value. You go there, you get immediate help identifying the best seats that fit your budget, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. That's huge. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. I'm telling you, there's no better product in the industry. Try SeatGeek. Get a $20 rebate off your first ticket purchase with our promo code FANTASY. That's FANTASY, all caps. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. Again, download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FANTASY.
Adam is so much more theatric in person. I like this. He's got these hand motions.
I believe, you know, you gotta believe your reads. I listen to a lot of podcasts where they're just like, oh, these are our sponsors, whatever. I'm just going to read it. No, I like SeatGeek is awesome. I actually tell people about our sponsors all the time when I'm off the air. So I kind of like, you know, live the podcast life always. Uh-huh. All right, we got a lot of news and notes. Gary Sanchez is going to bat second for the Yankees, and it looks like Ronald Torres is likely to be their starting shortstop while Gregorius is out. Torres is an AL-only guy. Sanchez is mixed league viable, I think, right?
Yeah, I think you could take him.
Now, he should get plenty of at-bats, and that's good. But it looks like Ellsbury is going to hit fifth. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And not sure how long that lasts.
Is that a terrible idea?
It's a terrible idea.
A low walk guy... I feel like low walk guys with little power should bat behind the power hitters. Behind the power hitters.
He drove
Maybe
it a run.
Fifth is a little too
he
high.
Drove it a run with a ground out yesterday, and I thought to myself, wow, that's probably going to happen a lot this year.
Yeah.
But Holiday's going to bat fourth. Heath has deep sleepers for every team in baseball on the website right now. I want to talk, if we can today, I want to get to the American League side. And, yeah, that'd be fun. So, let's see. We covered Matt Boyd. We covered Cameron Maben, Amir Garrett, and Rookie Davis in the Reds rotation. Anthony Rendon has a calf injury. Don't think it's very serious. Lorenzo Cain was scratched with tightness in his side.
That's not good.
No. Like, what would you do if you were drafting tonight? Would you be afraid to draft Lorenzo Cain?
He's falling a long ways as it is. Like, we're in our 14-team slow draft right now, and we're at pick 126. And I am not really concerned about him being selected anytime soon. So I'm just kind of waiting on my third outfielder. So, yeah, I don't think you're going to have to rush out to get Lorenzo Cain anyway.
Are you taking Buxton or Cain?
Cain.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cain is one of those guys, and I don't know, maybe he shouldn't be at his value now. But remember yesterday we talked about players we just never draft?
Right.
I'm not going to have any of the Lorenzo Cain.
There's five outfielders, and I'm probably higher on a couple of these guys than everybody else that have just been sitting there for like two or three rounds at the top of my queue. Stephen Piscotty, Dexter Fowler, Lorenzo Cain, Odubel Herrera, and Michael Brantley.
Mm. Yeah, and I think I'd go Brantley in that
group. Desmond's still there, too.
Ian Desmond's still there. So I'm like, I don't know. There's no reason to take an outfielder until a couple of those guys disappear. But it does go back to your point earlier of the value available in the 11th round.
In a 14-team league. And I also
it's the 9th round of a 14-team league.
Oh, okay.
I was using it. It's pick 126 overall.
He applied the conversion himself.
But I do want to say that in these 14-team leagues, like, it's sometimes hard to take an outfielder when you've got to fill catcher, shortstop, and you know it's a deep league. And position scarcity really factors in.
Well, it's easy for Chris because he just doesn't take any pitchers.
Yeah.
So you can fill all the hitter positions.
Actually, I realized at my last pick that I have as many pitching spots left in my starting lineup as hitting spots.
How many pitchers do you have through 9 picks in a 14-team league?
3.
And who are they? McCullers?
McCullers, Paxton, and Duffy.
That's not so bad. Of course,
I've got 3, too.
I have DeGrom.
It's just
Carrasco,
I don't have one of the high. I don't have one of, like,
was my fourth.
Yeah, I don't have one of the, like, you know, quote unquote safe guys. You do have my AL Cy Young pick though.
Who? Carrasco?
No.
DeGrom?
No.
Who?
Marcus Stroman.
Oh, Stroman? Oh yeah, I saw that. That was a silly.
Yeah,
pick.
He's going the Rick Porcello route.
I've got my AL Cy Young choice. I got Sale, Price, and of course Wade Davis.
Wade Davis isn't in the AL anymore.
That's true.
All right, back to the notes. Cincinnati claims Scooter Jeanette. Does that matter?
No.
It should be noted that Aaron Judge is not necessarily going to be the Yankees' starting right fielder. It could be Aaron Hicks, and it could be a platoon. So,
how would you feel about that as a person who likes the Yankees?
Better defense, I suppose.
First thought?
I feel like you got to just let Aaron Judge play.
Let him.
Like,
Judge is not striking out as much as he used to. He actually had a good spring.
He has had a good spring. He hit a ball, I think, over the scoreboard in left field earlier in the spring. He's been going the opposite way for a couple of home runs. He's having himself a nice spring. And, like, he struck out a ton last season, 44% of his plate appearances last year and 95 at-bats. I believe Giancarlo Stanton in his first 95 plate appearances struck out, like, 39% of the time. So it's not necessarily a death knell. Giancarlo Stanton was 4 years younger than Aaron Judge, so that's the most common comp for him. You know, just let him play. See what you have.
I think they will.
The only thing that worries me about that is, like, nobody knows him better than they do. And they don't really seem near as exciting about him as all the rest of us do.
I think Hicks will get in. They'll sit Gardner. They'll sit Ellsbury from time to time. They'll sit Judge. And Hicks, this might take. He'll be the fourth outfielder, and he'll play a little bit. Carlos Rodon, and let's talk about Rodon and Mats. They both went very late in my draft last night. Nobody wants to touch them. But Rodon, no structural damage. Actually, both of them, I would say, it seems like, got fairly good news. Mm-hmm. Rodon's going to be on a two-week throwing program, and then he'll be reevaluated. So, he might be out for most of the month.
Yeah.
Mats might not. I don't know. He threw on consecutive days, which I guess is rare for somebody with an elbow injury. But Rodon and Mats are not guys that you have to just completely ignore on draft day. You might get good values for them.
Right. It's not even clear Mats will begin on the DL. I moved them down last night, finally, since I was away. I moved them down to 44th and 45th in my starting pitcher rankings, right behind the, like, John Gray, Robbie Ray, Shamanai upside class for me.
Sounds about right.
And they're still ahead of, like, boring guys like Hap, Roark, Matt.
And I don't think this changes their outlook all that much because I think they were both pretty risky coming into the season. Anyway, Steven Matz especially, it just increases the risk.
Yeah, okay. So, look, I did the draft last night, and I wanted to see if I could come away with some takeaways that I thought would be helpful for owners out there. Again, it was a head-to-head categories league. It was 7x7. And, all right, a few things. David Price went 123rd overall. He just keeps on falling, and I don't know. I wanted to draft him, but then it's like I'm looking at – that's so stupid. I'm looking at David Price and James Paxton. Like, how could I justify taking James Paxton over David Price? And I didn't. I actually didn't end up getting either of them. But I think Paxton went before Price.
Well, David Price isn't the left-handed Noah Syndergaard.
It's just like Price. 123rd like, overall. Like
the,
now it's
the
getting
justification
crazy.
Is you take Paxton first so that you can get both, I guess.
But I don't. I still don't think Paxton should be going ahead of Price.
I don't think he should either. But I do. I find myself drafting Price a lot now. I was actually Al Melchior, our friend Al Melchior, was in one of the Tout Wars auctions this weekend. I think mixed, and those are 15 team leagues. He got David Price for $11. And I was reading his write-up on almelchior.com, and he was like, unhappy with it. Like, oh, I shouldn't have gone that dollar on Price. I just didn't think anybody would value him that low. And I'm like, $11 for David Price, I think that'll pay off for him handsomely.
I think people are – I think everybody's probably a little concerned that David Price has a setback.
Yeah,
has Tommy John surgery, and
there's
you have a total bust.
There's concern.
There's definitely a chance that he just doesn't pitch at all this year. Like, it's a small chance at this point, but...
Right. And it's just, you know, it's weighing risk versus reward, like every other pick you make.
And
I feel
if
like...
If he wasn't coming off a fluky high ERA season where all the rest of his peripherals looked fine, he'd probably be going a lot higher.
Another thing I wanted to say in this format where you start two starters, two relievers, and four pitcher spots that you can use on any type of pitcher... I tried to get four closers. I did get four closers. Melanson, Giles, Familia, and Fernando Rodney. Now, Rodney's going to help me with saves, but, man, he's going to really hurt and whip. Luckily, he's done pitched that many innings, but, you know.
Did you take Rodney before, like, Camber Drosian was already gone?
Yeah, Rodney was, I think Madsen, I'm not sure about Caps. I think Madsen was the last one left. I think, other than like maybe Iglesias, but I think Rodney was one of the last closers. He was one of my last picks. And I probably waited a little bit too long because I didn't want him.
He'll be one of the first closers to lose his job.
To who, though?
I know.
That's you know, like if he had Carter Cass behind him, maybe, but.
If he's as bad as I think he could be, they'll find somebody.
But in a daily lineups league where any pitcher on your roster you can throw,
right.
When you don't have to start and sit, you know, every week. You can throw any pitcher on your roster. It helps to have more closers.
Yeah, it does.
To win those categories that the closers help you in. So I have four, and we're expecting Familia's suspension to be less than 30 days. Addison Reed actually went pretty early in this draft. And Kyle Schwarber's catcher eligible on Yahoo, so that's big. Jose Reyes is shortstop eligible. You know, Eduardo Nunez and Jose Reyes went almost in the same spot. Nunez was one of the latest fallers, one of the biggest fallers yesterday. Didn't seem like anybody had any faith in him.
Yeah, I get it, but I'd rather have him than Jose Reyes for sure.
He went before Reyes, but it was interesting to have Reyes as part of the shortstop pool.
I'd have him rather have him more than Reyes in that format for sure. In a points league, it might be close.
Mm, yeah. All right, and I don't want to bog this show down with my draft. So let's talk about yesterday's spring training storylines, the good and the bad. First, the good. Another good one for Felix Hernandez, only two innings, but one hit, one run, no walks, and four strikeouts against Arizona. And he said, quote, I feel stronger, I feel much better with my legs, my mechanics, and like you see, all the pitches I throw are down in the zone with a good break. So that's Felix Hernandez talking about his off-season routine, which was a little bit different, and this sort of puts a nice finishing touch to a good spring.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, yeah, I feel very nice about Felix Hernandez as my number three starter.
Felix or Price?
Price. I mean, I'm the downer on Hernandez, but
I still have Price. Yeah. I still have Price ranked higher. There's more upside there.
Nate Karns, Heath, last two starts, 12 innings, 9 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 16 strikeouts. He had a 7.36 ERA before that in the spring, but Karns has turned it on. Is he becoming mixed league relevant?
No. Like, he's got somebody that you're probably going to stream occasionally, but I don't think you're going to be drafting Nate Karns, and I would expect he's going to have 2 or 3 starts like this a month, and he's going to have 1 or 2 bad starts a month.
How many appearances do you need to be SPARP eligible last season?
10.
If he'd gotten 3 more relief appearances last year, I'd be very interested in him in mixed leagues in head-to-head.
Yeah.
We talked about Byung-ho Park and Byron Buxton. Adam Duvall homered twice. Duvall or Buxton?
Duvall, Buxton.
To break the tie.
Duvall for sure in Roto.
I mean, in a Roto league, I'd probably go Duvall. But in a head-to-head points league where this is probably a fourth outfielder I'm looking for upside with, Buxton.
Man, head-to-head, Duvall still might be better because he might strike out less.
Yeah, but
they're both going to be plate discipline victims for sure. Mike Zunino. Chris, you've always kind of liked Mike Zunino. He's batting 351 with 4 home runs, 12 walks, 11 strikeouts.
Really? Huh.
Now, look, he had a very similar slash line because this season in spring training, 1367 OPS. 2 years ago, 2015, 1287 OPS. Obviously didn't really translate. But that year he had 7 walks, 14 strikeouts in spring. This year, 12 walks, 11 strikeouts. Mike Zunino, anybody?
Mike Zunino is a 4A All-Star.
He is.
like he only hit 207 last season in the majors, but walked a bunch, hit for power. There are worse number 2 catcher options out there.
Is he like the new Chris Iannetta, you think?
I think he has, like, we've seen he has probably 25 homer upside. Mm-hmm. He has changed his approach at the plate. He's not swinging at everything. He still strikes out a lot, but now it at least comes with, you know, he still seems to have the power, and it comes with a few more walks. So, yeah, I think Mike Zunino is a fine number 2 catcher.
I do want to clarify, when you said he only hit 207 last year, it sounded like that was a down year for him. His career batting average is 195 over 1,200 plate appearances. Yeah. So that was better than his career mark.
How could he be that bad? Like, that's just so bad. How are you a 200 hitter?
He's also...
He's not a 200 hitter. He's just shy of.
He's also a guy with who had a lot of pedigree, was one of the top picks in the draft, got rushed through the minors. I think there's a chance he's a late breakout. It's also, catchers take a long time to develop. You know, with the exception of Buster Posey, basically, every catcher is a late bloomer. And he's only 26, so...
He did lead the league in hit-by-pitches in 2014.
All right, you're not taking Mike Zunino very seriously, Heath.
No.
Would you rather have Derek Norris or Mike Zunino?
No, I don't necessarily disagree with what Chris said, that as a number 2 catcher, if you just wait forever, he's not a bad one. I wouldn't seek after him as my second catcher.
You can probably get him with your last-round pick if you...
That's fine.
And he's a catcher with 20 to 25 homer upside.
Like, I remember... 205 for a catcher isn't going to hurt you quite as much as 205 for a guy who plays every day.
Because he's not
going to at bats.
Yeah. And he walks a lot, so you're probably only looking at like 350 at bats for him.
Yeah, might not hurt your batting average quite as much as you think. All right, bad yesterday in spring training, Zach Greinke. So 3 runs in 4 innings on 6 hits, no strikeouts, no walks for Greinke, but I guess he topped out at like 91 miles per hour.
Yep.
Yeah, this is another guy I can't see being on my team.
Which was another increase, right? Like, he's slowly building himself up.
I think he's been topping around 91 for the most part.
Well, Brooks Baseball, I was looking at this yesterday. He'd been averaging.
Do they have 2017 numbers for him?
I thought he was 89
start,
average.
Obviously, but he'd been averaging a little more than 91 over his last few starts.
So Greinke here we're talking about.
Yeah, so
have you dropped him in your rankings or what?
So on March 18th and March 23rd, which was the last two Brooks Baseball recorded, he averaged 91.1 and 91.2, which is about a mile per hour lower than he was in March of last year. But March of 2 years ago, well, actually April of 2 years ago when he was doing great, that he was about that velocity. So I don't know. I mean, it's... I don't find myself drafting him a lot either because after the year he just had, I wanted to see like a lights out spring from him to really assuage me.
Right.
But like, and instead he's had this kind of bumpy one with some velocity concerns, it may end up being much ado about nothing.
Give me a round in a 12-team league for Greinke.
10?
Yeah. I will be dropping him down.
McCullers?
I'll be okay with, like, 8 or 9.
I think I'd rather have McCullers at this point, yeah. I'd rather have Paxton than Greinke.
Wow. You got to move down. You got to do some rankings adjustments here.
Yeah, I'm not.
Michael Fulmer or Greinke?
Greinke.
Greinke.
All right.
We do have some breaking spring training news. Ned Yost has announced his starting lineup.
No, thanks.
We just talked about the Braves lineup. We can talk about the Royals lineup. Why is the Braves lineup going?
Yeah, but we only did that because I had no other words.
When is the Marlins lineup segment of the show?
Fine.
I want to point out I was not the one who read off the Braves lineup, okay?
What's the lineup?
Alex Gordon, Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, Salvador Perez, Brandon Moss. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Why is he batting Alex Gordon leadoff now? Like, not when he was the extreme on base.
Have you seen
guy.
Spring training? He's got like a 450 on base. Okay. Spring training only
Ned
matters.
Ned Yost definitely hasn't seen his spring training on base.
For Bryce percentage. Harper and Zach Greinke.
Corey Kluber had a bad start. Another one. He's had kind of a bad spring, Kluber. Francona says he's fine. His arm feels good. Are we
he's
all right
fine.
With Kluber?
Okay. Yeah, no,
he's not Bryce fine. Harper or Zach Greinke.
Jonathan Villar, I just want to bring this up. 4 walks, 14 strikeouts. And I looked the last 4 seasons, it's almost identical. Right around 4 walks, right around 14 strikeouts every single spring for Jonathan Villar. But he wasn't really a good walk guy until last year. Now, 4 years ago, actually 10% walk rate. But then 6.6, 7.8, and then last year 11.6. I guess what I want to know is, like, one of the reasons why I have a little bit of faith in VR is because he did walk so well last year and, of course, stole all those bases. Are we feeling that VR is going to get on base a lot again?
Well, no.
No.
Because he's probably not going to hit 285 or whatever.
All right, is he going to walk again?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to walk a decent amount. I think the way I kind of look at him is I don't look at his last season numbers. My expectation for him is what he's done in the majors as a whole, which is about a 760 OPS. I think that's probably what I'm expecting.
Okay, and last guy on the bad list here is Aaron Nola. Terrible start. 7 hits, 5 runs in an inning and 2/3. Gave up 2 home runs to a good Blue Jays lineup. But Nola has an 8.38 ERA in the spring. 28 hits and 19 1/3. 7 walks, 23 strikeouts in 19 1/3. Pete Buchanan said, that his velocity is way up, his arm is healthy, the command just isn't there from Nola. Isn't that kind of what happened last year?
Yeah, I don't – this is one where, first of all, the 23 strikeouts in 19 1/3 innings is not impressive because he has a 1.81 whip. He's facing, like, 7 batters per inning, so the fact that he's striking out a batter per inning or more isn't very impressive at all, actually. I get the reasons why we should draft Aaron Nola because mostly just because where he's going. Like he's like 170, 180 at that point, why not take a flyer on the upside? He's a very popular breakout candidate on Fantasy Pros. I think 83% of the experts there have him ranked higher than his ADP. That's fine. I get it. I think there's a lot of risk with Aaron Nola. I think there's a chance he's just not good.
It's the spring has kind of worried me. Like every start, he's given up more runs as the spring has gone on. So you didn't like his first start was good, but the others have all been bad. And it was like at the start of draft season before spring training started, he was a guy I consistently targeted in the middle rounds as like my 4th starting pitcher or whatever. And as spring has gone on, I haven't so much. It's just like I'm less enthusiastic about him.
Nola.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm not sure anything's really changed. I mean, good players have bad springs all the time. It's just for one who finished on a down note and isn't all that proven to begin with.
And needs location. I mean, he's kind of ranking.
And I think one thing with him is I think he might just be hittable because he works in the zone so much and doesn't have swing and miss stuff. Last season, he threw 48% of his pitches in the strike zone. It was one of the highest rates for any starter, but he had the second lowest swing rate in baseball. So guys just weren't swinging at the pitches he was throwing in the strike zone. That feels like a very thin line. Like if you can walk that line, you can get a lot of called strikes and be a successful strikeout pitcher. But if you can't walk that line, you're going to get hit really hard if guys start jumping and being more aggressive.
I watched what I assume is Chris's favorite movie yesterday for the first time, Moneyball.
It's a good movie.
It's a pretty good movie. Kind of a lame ending, though. Like, it doesn't even end with baseball.
I don't even remember how it ends.
She like sings to him, right? And then
He listens. No, she made a CD for him.
He decides to stay with Oakland,
but it doesn't end with a game or anything. There's no like. There's very little actual baseball. He goes. He meets with
John
Henry.
That's how the book ends too.
Let's be clear. Well, he should have gone to Boston.
Yeah, he should have gone to Boston. But he wanted.
Because then he could have gone to the Cubs right after.
He wanted to stay near his daughter.
Yeah, it's pretty low on the sports movie.
Disagree.
Come on.
Like it's not
my
top
favorite
20.
Sports
it's the
movie.
Best it's the
Moneyball's
best sports.
Your favorite sports
movie.
It's my it's favorite.
It's
the best. What's
that's
a better
terrible
sports movie?
Pick.
What's a better sports movie in the last decade?
How many Oscar nominations did it get? It might be the most decorated
sports
movie.
When did Miracle come out?
No, Miracle is not better.
Miracle is
here.
Absolutely better
than
Moneyball.
What was the Keanu Reeves movie you brought up the other day?
That one's really good, but it's not as good as Moneyball.
It's better than Moneyball.
No.
Yes,
Hardball
over Moneyball.
Is better than Moneyball.
I love Hardball.
Heath has no authority on movies with that
but
statement.
Moneyball. No, Scott, you have no authority.
Yes,
just call
you said Moneyball was your favorite
there,
movie.
There
it's
sports movie.
No, it's
well,
definitely
there aren't
there.
That many good sports movies, to be perfectly
again,
honest.
Again, false. What is with you?
What's in the world?
Consider boxing a sport?
How many Oscar nominations did Moneyball have? You can't say it's not
Rocky
a good
or Moneyball.
Movie.
Like, I just saw the Oscars mean nothing to me anymore.
Actually,
I also
that
just,
Creed might be a better sports movie in the last decade, but that might be the only
Creed
one.
Creed wasn't that good.
Creed was phenomenal.
So you like it better than Major League?
Yes.
Better than Bull Durham?
Yes.
Better than Rocky, which won Best Picture?
They're going for different things.
You know, I have trouble with movies.
Better than Remember the
1980s.
Titans?
Oh, yeah, definitely better than Remember the Titans.
No, I go with Remember the Titans.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Moneyball wasn't really that sportsy.
Better than Varsity Blues?
Oh, for sure.
No.
No way.
What do you mean the Moneyball wasn't that sportsy?
No, come
like,
on.
It changed the book changed the game. And
no,
the
no,
movie
no, no,
was
I,
very
it just it wasn't really like Little Big League had more baseball than Moneyball. It was
a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
It was a good
but,
movie,
I mean,
but it wasn't
like Billy
it wasn't
Bean himself
sportsy.
Wasn't even watching the game. So what do you expect?
I know,
was,
that's fine.
It was the start of Chris Pratt's run as a box office monster
and a first baseman.
You've got Jonah Hill's first Academy Award nomination.
Jonah Hill's great in that movie.
It was closer. It was closer to Draft Day than Major League.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh,
it was closer to Draft Day than
draft
Major
day.
League.
I'm gonna fight
out of here.
You know how people think
Team Heatem. Team Heatem.
You know how people think we all hate each other.
Yes.
Now we do.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. So let's see what we got here. Oh, I just wanted one more guy, Jake Arrieta, 5.79 ERA this spring, but only four walks. Three of them came in one appearance. 17 strikeouts. Any thoughts on Arrieta? Just whatever.
He's a top five or six starting pitcher. That's my thought.
Let's read emails now, and then we'll end the show with sleepers for every American League team. Tomorrow we'll do sleepers for every National League team. Email from Cody in Biloxi, Mississippi. Dear Arnold, Gerald, Harold, and Stinky.
I like it.
Who is it?
One of the great children's shows of all time, Hey Arnold.
Oh, okay. In a head-to-head categories league with on-base percentages that are batting average, who do I add of this group? Again, it's a head-to-head categories league OBP. Reyes, Cesar Hernandez, Delino DeShields, Hernan Perez.
Easy choice.
Delino? Hey there,
Cesar!
Delino.
I think probably DeShields at this point for me.
Cesar.
How many steals do you honestly expect from Cesar?
25
Hernandez?
To 30.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I don't, but okay.
Heath has talked me into Cesar Hernandez.
I would expect more from Perez.
I would really like to know what the plan is for Perez's playing time.
The only one of this group, well, no, we know Cesar's going to play regularly, right? But we know Reyes, not the start, he's going to play regularly.
And everything I see shows Cesar leading off for the Phillies.
I mean, I know we kind of, I mean, Reyes is batting leadoff for the Mets. I do feel like Reyes is being, like, just because he's not officially the Mets third baseman, but he's obviously going to be
I think
the Mets
third baseman
this year.
Fourth for me on this
I feel
list.
Like Reyes is being kind of undervalued just as a whole.
I just don't know, like, that Reyes was surprisingly – I was so surprised at how well he played last year.
Yeah.
I thought he was done.
And I, in fairness, I think a decent amount of that was just the fact that he hit a couple of home runs. Like, he hit eight home runs, and everything else was kind of bad.
Yeah, I like –
Well, it's just
normal,
like, do
it
we – occurred
to me.
Do we think – no.
He had a very normal Jose Reyes line.
He was at a 24 homer pace. If we think Jose Reyes is a 25 homer guy, sure. But
it occurred to me like a few times when I've thought about drafting Reyes, like he might just not be good.
Yep.
Yeah. But all these guys, you have to say that.
Except
that's
for
why,
Cesar Hernandez.
That's why they're late. Yeah. Brent from Redwood Falls, Minnesota. Hey, Derek, Daniel, and Chuck.
Aoki.
What?
These are Norai.
What? These are Norises. I completely sold out for speed in all of my roto drafts. Who are some cheap sources of dongs that can be targeted in free agency or trades?
Byung-ho Park.
Travis Shaw.
There are a lot Eric of Thames.
A lot of cheap sources of dongs.
But now, like after reading the last email, Reyes, Hernandez, DeShields, Perez, I feel like there are cheap sources of steals, too.
Hunter Renfro.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Puig. Probably not.
No, I mean, I don't think you should count on it. Obviously, right. There's a chance.
Maybe Domingo Santana.
Like, but just guys who you know are going to hit a lot of home runs, like Randall Grichuk. Domingo Santana's one, yeah.
Steven Souza, maybe, hopefully, one day.
These are always the most fun. Corey Dickerson.
This happened to me yesterday, actually. It's a keeper league, but my first pick was Rizzo. My second pick was Blackman. Late in the third round, in the fourth round, I took AJ Pollock. So I actually needed power, which had been sort of different for me. I usually need steals. I needed power. So Mike Napoli fell really late and he went a few picks before I was going to take him. But Napoli was the guy I was targeting. I don't know how much power, but I took, the guy from the show with the guy from the Brewers. Oh, that we like a lot.
Trevor Shaw.
What? Who?
Trevor Shaw.
No, the outfielder with the power speed.
Keon Broxton.
Keon Broxton. Yeah, he was pretty late. Thank you.
Yeah, the Brewers are a bad team to do that with.
Well,
because they've got like 170 guys.
It's true. All right. Next email is from Blake. Did I skip one?
You skipped Pony.
It's from Pony. Dear Ad Rock, MCA, and Mike D.
Rest in peace, MCA.
Everyone in my weekly team. In my weekly 10-team head-to-head categories league, seems to have at least one high upside guy stashed on his bench. Please rank the following four I'm debating between. What?
Sorry, I'm
that's,
just
that's
no,
a
Mike.
Lot more than four.
Yeah, no. Please rank. Jeez, we can't rank 12 guys, Pony. I give him.
Actually, Adam, we do on CBSSports.com. If you go to fantasy players and rankings, you can see all these players ranked. All
right, so just some of your favorites from this list. Swanson, Thames, Benintendi. He's probably going to be number one.
Number one.
Aledmys Diaz.
Number one.
Glasnow, Urias, Buxton, Broxton, Bird, Moncada, Haniger, Tommy Joseph, Puig, Bell.
Let's talk about the guys we don't like from this list.
Yeah, fine.
I'm not as excited about Urias and Glasnow
as
I am the hitters. I'm not as excited. I don't believe Moncada, at least for this year, really is on the level of any of these guys, and I'm losing excitement in Josh Bell, and I would not put Buxton with a lot of these guys.
Bell got a hit yesterday.
Oh, well, never mind.
I was with you until you said that last thing about Buxton, but I think, like, Josh Bell, I'm not targeting him in mixed leagues anymore.
And really, Haniger. Get out of here.
No.
Why?
Like, Mitch Haniger's fine as a very late-round pick, but I'm not putting him on the same level as all these other guys in this list.
Is Mitch Haniger going to bat second? Between like Segura, is it gonna be Segura, Haniger, Cano, Cruz?
I don't think so.
And then Seager, like
I think he's planning on doing Dyson Segura 1-2, which I mean,
we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know officially. That's something I remember reading weeks ago. So
okay, this is from Blake in Santa Barbara. Could you discuss the players below before my drafts this weekend? Joe Ross, Jim Johnson, Marcus Semien, Carlos Gonzalez, Stephen Vogt. All right, we going to go around the room and give me 1 to 2 sentences on each guy. Joe Ross, Scott.
I think he's a fairly safe mid to late round pitcher. Doesn't have the strikeout potential that I was thought he did this time a year ago, so I'm not super excited about him.
Braves closer, Jim Johnson. Nope, Braves closer, Jim Johnson.
Should have let Scott talk about Jim Johnson. I think Jim Johnson is a fine low-end closer option, but I don't get excited about him.
Marcus Semien.
A rare, cheap source of dongs at the shortstop position.
Carlos Gonzalez, back to Heath.
I like Carlos Gonzalez a lot. He is very good. He's a top 20 outfielder, maybe top 12.
That was like five sentences.
Stephen Vogt.
They were short sentences. I wish... Stephen Vogt could go back to the first half of 2015 when he looked like one of the best catchers in baseball. He's not that, but he's a fine number two option.
Vogt or Zunino?
Vogt.
Okay. Last email. Brandon in the home of Publix. Love Publix.
The South?
Florida, sure. Right?
I don't know. It's
somewhere in Florida.
It's South, but yeah, great, great supermarket. Dear Christopher, David, Matt, and Peter.
Some common names there.
Look it up.
Are those like children's authors?
Matt Christopher?
I don't know. Last night in my 10-team head-to-head categories league, I took Goldschmidt. Then I took Arenado. What?
Wow.
Wow.
Then no one took Miggy, so I took Cabrera in round three.
This must have been one of those head-to-head leagues where everybody was drafting starting pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah. But he took Goldschmidt, then Arenado, then Cabrera. And his question is, you know, was it okay to fill utility that early?
Yes. Yes. When you can get three players that good, it doesn't matter what position they play.
All right. Well, we're at the 55-minute mark, Heath. Do you think we should wait till tomorrow for the sleepers?
It's up to you. You are in charge of the show. I think we can get through them real quick, or we can just do it tomorrow.
Let's do it tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow it is.
Tomorrow it is.
Good tease, guys.
Tomorrow we'll do the sleepers.
I mean, people have been listening to this podcast for 35 minutes because they thought they were going to get my deep sleepers, and now they're like,
forget about the website.
I'm never listening to them again.
Well, I see I'm driving traffic to the website.
I appreciate that.
And tomorrow we'll do maybe it's like some buy or sell. Well, let's do bold predictions tomorrow, and we'll do all of our MLB predictions on Friday. Is there anything else I wanted to tell you guys?
I just got an email from Tom Arecchio. All 15 of our 16 For the People teams have accepted their invite for the draft tomorrow night. I was wondering how many people have accepted their invite for the podcast league draft tonight.
We actually had a cancellation, so I am seeking out an alternate. I already put out an email to an alternate. He needs to get back to me pretty soon, or else I'm going to look for another.
But has everyone else accepted their invites?
I have no idea.
Have you sent the invites?
Yeah, I sent the invites. I didn't send it to you because you're already in the league.
Okay, just making sure.
All right, last thing. We'll go out on this. Does anybody have a copy of The Empire Strikes Back that I could borrow? I'd like to keep watching Star Wars before the season starts.
I actually do on DVD.
Let's do it. Bring it in tomorrow?
Yeah, just send me a text tonight and I can bring it in.
Love it. For Chris Stowers, Heath Cummings, and Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow with another edition of Fantasy Baseball Today.